like, you can let me hit you, which you know I'm allowed to do, or I can tell your dad, and your dad's going to hit you way more than I'm going to. He goes upstairs to have Mr. Deary hit him, and he goes bare, you know, because that's how his father hits him. You know, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right, you know? Yeah. Worst job I ever had.
Worst job I ever had too, man.
I've had a ton of jobs. As every review I ever had there, there was like, you got to smile and talk more to the customers. And I was like, dude, no.
I do maybe bring me and Josh back because I love Josh to death, but, and I really like 95% of what he said, but the whole flat earth thing, man, I gotta convince him. I gotta.
You want to be on, you say you want to be on with him together?
To convince him that the earth is not flat. I promise. Yeah, I'm not certain of everything, but I'm from.
Space is
fake. Hello and welcome to the Working Perspectives Podcast. I'm Matt Lavelle. He's J-Dub Justin Richardson. Our guest today is the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Brian Peters. Brian Peters is a buddy of mine from LA Fitness at the gym. We play basketball together. I met him playing basketball. Dude, I'll tell you, great talker, you know, great storyteller. Really, really, really had a great time with him. Justin, what'd you think?
He's a Matt guy. For sure.
He's a big guy, so in the paint, it's pretty tough. Me and him were battling in the paint today, throwing some elbows. I basically have to, like, wrestle him to the ground for him not to be able to score. Or, like, dude, nothing's worse than, like, I don't have a vertical. Everyone knows I'm a lateral movement guy. I'm a total lateral movement guy. I'm a left to right guy.
You're
I'm not an up
west.
Or down. I'm an east to west. I'm not north to south, right? So, like, I'm under the rim looking up. The ball is, like, coming to me. And then out of nowhere, he just walks and stands above me and goes, and I'm just like, you know, it's a nightmare.
I was here. Excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, and then, like, dude, oh, bro, like, boxing you out in the paint. Like, come on, man. It's, nobody like, impossible. That. No, it's,
those two, you know, use those hips as real weapons.
Oh, big time. Big time. Big time. Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
He's played, yeah. Round mound of rebound.
But nah, he's done it, dude. It's a lot of fun. But he's just one of those guys, like, you know, like, there to play, have fun, beat, but, like, you know, he'll, you know, BS and talk and just be one of the guys and have a good time. So really super excited that we were able to get him on the show and share his story and you know, let everyone know what he's got going on. This is the Working Perspectives Podcast. I'm Matt Lavelle. He's J-Dub Justin Richardson. Our guest today is the one and only Brian Peters. Enjoy. All right. Hello and welcome to the Working Perspectives Podcast. I'm Matt Lavelle. He's J-Dub Justin Richardson. On the show today, like he says, the one and only Brian Peters. Super excited to get this guy on. Like I said, I met him at basketball. I played basketball with him at LA Fitness. Tell you, super good dude, man. Very approachable, very well spoken, easy to talk to. And you know, one of the things I'd like to say is that you meet some guys and they can be kind of standoffish, especially nowadays where social anxiety is kind of taken over and people really don't know how to interact. So when you meet someone that can, you know, interact and is polite and is as good as just being one of the guys, man, it's really refreshing. So super excited to get this guy here. Knew he's going to come on eventually and get a lot of fun. So before we get started, Brian, thanks for being on. I would just like to ask, who does Rocky love?
Rocky Balboa?
Okay. It's a safe answer there. No, not Rocky Balboa. No.
What do you mean, Rocky?
Okay, finish this song lyric. Rocky loves.
Oh, man. Emily? What else?
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen that movie, man.
Oh, man. Three ninjas? A little three ninjas action?
I was probably like 6 years old when I watched that. Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh, dude. Classic, though. Classic.
We tried to, my daughter, we tried to watch it. We started it and she just wasn't into it. So maybe one day when she gets older.
Yeah. One thing my brother does with my godson is they'll have movie night on Fridays, and like he'll call me the next day and be like, dude, watch D2 last night. It's pretty sweet, man. Pretty sweet. You know, like that's a pretty good, like, dude, could you
Yeah.
imagine, like, you know, not bad. Have you had that before? So for everyone listening, this is Brian Peters. You have four children, you said?
Yeah, four girls.
Four girls. Oh
Four girls.
boy.
Yeah. So
Nice. Have you had any had
we
go
had
ahead.
two. We had two, and then my wife was wanted a third and was, kind of eventually talked me into it. Went for
Right.
the third, got twins. So I thought we were gonna have two. She thought we were gonna have three. We ended up with four.
Man,
Surprise.
man,
Yeah,
four
yeah.
girls. God bless you, dude.
So a
Wow,
lot of
that's tough.
princess movies,
Oh yeah.
Frozen, stuff like that. So
Oh yeah, your unicorns everywhere, right? Yeah, it's Unicorn City.
they do like the new Spider-Man though, into the universe or whatever. Like they
Yeah.
do enjoy that. So trying to get them in a little bit, that type of stuff.
Yeah, nice. Then like they do a good job too. Like I think they do as much for the dads as much for
Oh yeah.
the daughters. Like there's like even like little kid Spidey stuff. You know what I mean? And there's like a girl there, so like my girl will be like, my daughter will be like, I want to be Ghost Spidey or whatever. And I'm like, all
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
you know. But it's impossible to watch some of that kids, dude. I'll tell you, you know what? Do you ever do this? I'll throw on an old school show for my daughter to see if it still hits. Threw on Fraggle Rock the other day, and it hit, baby.
don't think I'm aware of that one. What was
Oh my
that?
God, Fraggle Rock was a hitter, man. It's like, you know, it's like a Muppet. They look like kind of Muppets, you know what I mean? And they lived in like this, you know, under this shed in this lady's house or whatever. Either way, the song was the hitter, you know. Take your cares away, worries for another day. Take the blues away down at Fraggle Rock. So yeah, good stuff.
Was
But
it, I'm sorry, was it a movie or a series?
TV show. Series. Yeah.
I didn't grow up with
Yeah.
cable, but maybe I didn't grow up with cable. Maybe that's why I
I
said
wonder what
360.
Nickelodeon, I think, was Fraggle Rock.
Fraggle might have been Nickelodeon. Dude,
Yeah, so I didn't grow
man.
up
Might
with
have been
cable. I didn't grow up
PBS.
with cable. Like my friends had Nickelodeon, and I was
Fraggle
like
Rock might have been
an addict when I go
PBS.
to their
I don't
house.
know.
Like.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. Remember, especially too, when you got a little older and you had the buddy that had all the movie channels,
Oh
you
yeah,
know?
the
You
legal
like,
cable box and yeah.
yeah. Man, dude, cable was, dude. I mean, I remember like crap. Like, dude, when's the last time you had any channel surfing? Like, that guy can't even tell you know?
My little brother got YouTube TV and he gave me
Okay,
his login, and that
got
has
it.
like a guide and regular old channels. Like you flip through it, you pick what you
Yeah,
want, and
yeah.
that's because that's what you do miss from, like, you go to Netflix, you scroll for 20 minutes, you gotta like
Yeah.
pick something, versus
Yeah.
like you go through that guide and you're just like you pick something and then you go back to the guide and like look for other stuff while you're watching it, and you end
Yeah.
up settling on, or like I wouldn't watch Monk, but like I'm like, eh, nothing else on. I watch Monk. Monk's fun.
Yeah.
Watch SVU, but I will.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Huh.
My in-laws have YouTube TV and they like it a lot. I do think like the older generation kind of likes that channel guide
I want TV to
type
pick.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to
No, I agree. I think my in-laws do the same thing where they like to be able to sit in front of the TV and like scroll and watch and all that stuff. Yeah.
Where they get
Dude.
confused, like we'll say, oh, you're on Netflix, you got to switch to Disney, and they're like, what do you mean? Like what channel is that?
Yeah.
It's, yeah,
You're like,
my
all
parent
right, let me get my Roku. Oh,
my
yeah.
parents
Nice.
still have like a $300 Comcast bill. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
They're like, what do you
What?
mean? I'm like, you have Netflix, Amazon Prime, all the Comcast channels. I'm like, like you're overlapping tremendously
Yeah.
here.
Yeah.
I'm like, I
Dude, I
don't understand.
do. I mean, I do. God, I'm a big glutton for the streaming services. I do have all of them, but
You go to the
yeah.
hood, get yourself a jailbroken Fire Stick. It's got all the streaming services on it.
I mean, yes and no. I had one of those. I wasn't a fan.
From
Good.
2013 to 2015, I worked for DirecTV and the home security side of it. And they one of the perks of being in DirecTV was free, pretty much every channel. So HBO, you know, Showtime, and if you know, Sunday Ticket, absolutely,
Yeah.
absolutely everything was awesome. And I was like,
Whoa.
I remember like in 2013, I'm like, tell my wife, I'm like, I'm never leaving this company. This is gonna go forever. And then like, you know, 3 years later, everyone's cutting the cord, like
Yeah.
AT&T bought them, you know, but
Yeah. Yeah.
it was a good 3 years. Yeah, to have
Oh,
like
that's a nice
everything.
little run you had there, man.
Yeah. Everyone would come over to watch Game of Thrones and stuff because like we had HBO, so yeah,
Yeah.
it was nice.
Damn. They had the Sunday Ticket too.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember when Red Zone first came, when Red Zone like first hit the scene, like the Red Zone channel for football. My God, that was a game changer. That was incredible, man. What are you gonna do? I mean, dude, those days. I mean, do you still have time to watch football on Sundays, Bri? Like,
That's like the only TV I get all year is like
okay,
college football and the Eagles on Sunday, and then
they'll let you.
like that's daddy's TV, like don't change it. So that's pretty much
Yeah,
it.
nice. At least you get that, you know. But nice. Okay, so let's keep it moving. So I want to get to a new segment. Well, not a new segment. I want to get to a segment. So these are called the disputed questions, Brian. So what this is Justin and I, we've convened on a few things and we don't agree. And we want to see the type of person you are. So we're going to ask you these questions and see what side of the line you fall on. So the first question is, what movie do you think is better, Godfather Part One or The Godfather Part Two?
Two. And that's,
Two.
I think it's very hard to make a sequel of any movie. So I
Right.
put the question back to you guys. Name me a better sequel to a movie than Godfather 2.
Dude, so great question. I
That's
would
my
say
question.
this is that one of the best sequels ever made was Mighty Ducks D2 is, and I know I brought that up earlier, but hold
Not sure if Rotten
on.
Tomatoes has, we'll have to check
The Dark Knight
that.
is a better
Dark
sequel.
Knight. That is a good sequel.
Ooh,
Police
yeah.
Academy. I mean, I like Police Academy too, but I'm just a sucker.
Yeah, you're a sucker.
Terminator 2, that was a good one.
Terminator 2 is a better
Yeah,
sequel.
I Toy
would say,
Story
yeah.
2. Would you
Better.
say any of those are better than Godfather 2, though?
No.
Oh,
As far as
yeah, no.
sequels go, no.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's I think the best
It's
sequel
a,
ever.
yeah, I think you're probably right. You know, yeah, I would agree. It's probably the greatest sequel of all time. So, all right, good. Well, that's the right answer. Very good. What about
Passion of the
Cheetos
Christ too, Electric Boogaloo.
Crunch?
Return
Titanic 2. No.
the iceberg.
The iceberg
Iceberg's
adventure.
revenge. Crocodile
Dude.
Dundee too. Actually, you know what? The sequel to Mad Max. What's the second one?
Fury Road.
Road Warrior. That's a better movie than the original.
You're the Road Warrior.
You're
Yeah,
right. I just rewatched
the
that
original,
banger. Actually wasn't that great, in my
it
opinion. I
doesn't
thought the
take
second and third
pace.
were better.
Yeah, it doesn't take
The
place in apocalyptic. I was like, I remember
it's just making
watching
up
it.
to it. Yeah,
Yeah, and I'll be like, what is going on?
the
And that
original
guy from
with
Fury Road's in it.
Mel Gibson.
Same villain. Okay, so the original
Yeah,
with Mel Gibson. Okay.
the
Yeah.
same villain as the remake.
Fury Road villain, you know that like blonde haired guy with like the chest piece and all the metal coming out of his face? That's the bad guy from the very first one.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Lot younger.
The third one has Tina Turner in it.
Really?
Yeah, Thunderdome.
Damn, so it's probably just simply the best.
That, I'm your private dancer.
You dance on my. All right, either way. Okay, so what do you say, crunchy or puffed for the Cheetos?
I really don't have a strong, you know, maybe the crunchy. I feel like the puffs, you feel like you're not eating much and you can just
Right. house them. So maybe
Yeah.
crunchy, but I don't
Yeah.
have a strong feeling.
Sure, sure. You're not gonna die on that hill like I am.
No.
Smart. All right, good. And then pancakes or waffles or French toast.
Like waffles. I like that you put the syrup and it kind of sits on the top.
Yep.
The crunchy.
Yep. I had this weekend, we went out to brunch, me and my family, me and my daughter and my wife. And I got what are called pearl sugar waffles, pearl sugar Belgian waffles. And let me tell you, pretty damn good.
Sounds good.
Pretty damn good. I mean, yeah, not mad at it,
My
but
beautiful
okay.
girlfriend made me banging French toast Sunday morning.
How do you even have a girlfriend that's
So
willing to
like
cook for you? I
thick
just
and
don't get
eggy,
it.
so good. Cinnamon,
Yeah.
little vanilla. Mwah.
Wow. I mean, and she nailed it.
Nailed it. Even like
So.
I had three slices and I ate two hot and like left one like it like get cold on the counter and ate it like an hour later.
Still
Still
good.
banging.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you ever gonna marry this one, Justin?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
What do you need to get a ring? Yeah.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. It's not, it's, you know, people think like, oh, just get a ring. It's pretty difficult, you know, and pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how much chicken sandwiches are?
They're starting to come out with the synthetic diamond rings, though, right?
Hype on those, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dude, what is
it? I don't want a blood diamond. I want a lab grown diamond.
Yeah.
It's called a
yeah,
synthetic diamond ring.
Out of the lab. I don't know too much. I mean,
they take carbon. They just take regular old carbon and they pressurize it and make diamonds in the lab.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Nobody has to lose an arm. You know, you can lose yeah. it. It's not a big deal.
Leonardo DiCaprio doesn't have to die.
I assume they're like, are they significantly more cheaper than a real one or
probably not? You know how that probably goes.
What? Okay. What about Chevy Chase or Bill Murray, Bri?
Oh, Bill Murray. Does anyone say Chevy Chase? I feel like
you'd be surprised.
Like
yeah, I do.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised at the chasers around here.
I think he's got like such a bad reputation. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Oh, he's a total asshat.
Yeah,
you know.
Bill Murray doesn't have the best reputation. Don't be fooled.
He's got a better one than Chase, though.
Speaking of old movies, we just watched. My kids like Space Jam, actually, which it's pretty terrible. Like, I loved it growing as a kid, but like, just it's pretty terrible. Well, I was still watch it, but he was pretty funny.
He's fixing a divot,
dude. No, Bill Murray steals the show. He's like da 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 da, you know.
Like Michael's gone. Do you think there's more room in the NBA for
Oh, he nails it. No,
goes out on top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then last question, most important question. When it comes to eating wings, are you a drum or are you a flat?
I like the drums. I feel like there's more meat.
You see that, Justin? You see that, you piece of shit?
That's a clean sweep. We don't agree on a goddamn thing.
Sorry, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you look at that? He's a nice guy. Look at that.
There's no reason you two are best friends.
Matt bribed me this guesses. Morning. He bribed me. Give me.
Yeah.
He slipped him a note. He's like, I'm gonna ask you a series of questions. These are the answers.
I was like, if you what don't about? Say crunchy, you son of a bitch.
Water no. park or amusement park?
Amusement park. Yeah.
This kid,
he loves you. PlayStation or Xbox?
I've had both growing up. I don't really play games that much. That's another one I've like.
Pick one, guy.
Xbox.
Yay! Yeah! Look at you! It's your guy, Matt.
Can't rattle him,
Justin. Did I really get all yours? Did I really?
Yeah, all Matt's. Yeah. We don't agree on a goddamn thing.
Wow, yep. Interesting.
And no, it's good because you don't want to agree with anything with this stupid Strunza. So,
back to Sir J-Dub, you like Chevy Chase? I'm like, now
yeah.
Yeah.
I love Fletch. I think he's funny. First off, Bill Murray's kind of an asshole, too. People like ignore that. He's famously an asshole as well. They fought each other multiple times Saturday Night Live. He goes to like bars all the time and like starts like guest like bartending. And like you'll order something, he just gives you like a tequila and lime drink and then charges no one. And like there was like multiple bartenders, like bars have been like, dude, it sucks when he comes here.
That's because he's taking their money out. That's interesting.
Yeah, we just lose like $4,200 and they're like, isn't it fun? He like goes up behind you and you're at the urinal. He's like, no one will believe you.
All
right. And I don't want to take the stance of anti-Bill Murray. I mean, I do enjoy many of his. Scrooge is my favorite holiday movie.
Scrooge is a classic. Absolute classic. But okay, let's keep it moving then. So, Bri, want to ask this, and we'll get on this topic, and then we'll get things moving. I just wanted to know, what was your favorite movie at the age of 10?
Probably Predator with Schwarzenegger. I watched, like, you know, I was born in 87, so I grew up, like, with just 80s action movies. And I remember, like, we were playing, like, paintball at that time. We just got really into paintball. So, I don't know. I just remember growing up and loving that movie with Schwarzenegger.
Incredible. Incredible movie. Yeah, one of my dad's favorite too. My dad was in he's an Army Ranger, he's a special forces guy, and he loved that movie. And the reason he loved it is because they really did a good job of nailing like the opening sequence of how the team interacts, right? How like every guy kind of has their thing, you know, like every guy's unique, everyone kind of has a specialty, and they're all badass in their own way, and they're bullshitting, and like, you know,
slack-jawed F words.
Yeah. But they're just like busting balls and doing whatever. And it's like, total like alpha gimmick, but everyone has like their own thing that they're good at. He's like, they really kind of nailed that aspect of a special forces team.
That's
but yeah
and the body and mass the- in that film
yeah.
Carl Weathers, dude. The Body Ventura, Arnold. Yeah.
Dude, even that Native American guy, he was like the best dude.
Billy. Yeah.
Billy. Man. Dude, and the man, you girls got a big pussy.
Who's the heavy set guy?
Is Echo here? Mac. He was in another Schwarzenegger movie. He was in Commando. I forget his. Yeah.
Name. He was in a bunch of stuff in the 80s.
Yeah.
He was not muscular, but he did have mass.
Yeah. And he was pissed off. He was pissed off when they killed
and then the door. Whole concept of that, it's like, all right, Predator crushed it. We're at the meeting, we're at the movie studio. It's time for Predator 2. We're like, all right, the first one crushed it. We had so much body mass. Who do we have fight the Predator this time? And one guy's just like, Danny Glover alone. And they're like, nailed it. Danny Glover alone. Yes. Where? In the city, of course.
And Gary Busey too. He was the he was in that movie too.
He was like the cop like following around the
You know what's a sleeper Gary Busey movie? You ever seen the movie Drop Zone?
No.
Yeah.
No. It's about like a bunch of like a skydiving gang who robs planes and then skydives out of it, led by Gary Busey.
Let's talk about sounds buttered like sausage. Let's talk about down, where it comes from.
That are tracked down by Wesley Snipes and crew.
Ooh,
yeah.
It's no money train.
No.
Was that also an 80s movie?
I believe late 80s, early 90s, around that. Yeah. Classic. But all right, let's keep it moving then. So, Bri, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where were you born and where did you grow up?
Born Brumar Hospital. Probably 10 minutes from where I grew up, which was Broomall, in Delaware County. So like Marple Newtown High School, Newtown Square area. So, you know, born and raised there from 87 until I, you know, graduated college and eventually moved out.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bri.
Yeah. And as far as like growing up, kind of, I listened to your episode with Pat Walsh. Similar, I felt a lot of, you know, like similarities in that, just grew up outside on the street playing sports. Like my best friend to this day grew up three houses down from me, and one of my close friends from the neighborhood. So
yeah,
seems like a similar type of childhood.
Dude, I'll tell you, that's one thing. I know, what's your opinion on this? I'd love to get your opinion on this. So, dude, coming up, neighborhood friends was so damn important.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, it was everything, the neighborhood, right? Like, your neighborhood crew was it. Like, and I feel like a neighborhood crew consisted of, like, there's a big general crew, but inside the big general crew, there was little facets of, like, all right, these guys are best friends. These guys are best friends. Like, these guys are brothers. These guys are neighbors. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they had all that, but... Dude, I'll tell you, the neighborhood best friend is like, dude, I'm still best friends with all the guys I grew up with too. Like, super close. Justin's the same way. So but now I really want to stress that, like, for my daughter. Like, I want her to have that best friend that she grew up next to or near, that was a couple houses away.
I know she's younger. Like, are there kids her age in your neighborhood?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. That's awesome. There's a couple. Yeah. So, like, yeah, there's one that, like, legit, when we moved in, like, the first day where they were there, I was like, how old? And they're the same age. I was like, oh, this is perfect. So, yeah, and like, but I feel too, like, back then, it was like the kids just kind of, like, hung out, you know? And, like, the kids, like, this is just what they did. I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say the parents are overly involved, but I think the parents are a little more involved in the neighborhood friends thing now than it was back in the day. Would you agree?
I guess it's probably, you probably have to take it case by case. I know ours, like the girls that the kids that left right next door, there's two girls, one's in second and one's in sixth grade. And like, it's actually because they're next door and you can kind of peek outside. It's very common for us to see one of them playing basketball. And then my daughter being like, can I go out there? So like, when it's in like lines, like a lot, it's very kind of ad hoc and kind of, you know, so we live on a street that doesn't get too much. Like there's people that live behind us, but it's not a neighborhood where you can pass through, you know, like the only people driving there are going to a house. So it's not, you know, too busy type of street, so it's easy to play out on the street. So
that's,
you know,
great.
So we're in a great neighborhood for that. That's one reason my wife and I joke, like, you know, at one point she was working remote and I'm, you know, I'm 100% remote, and we were joking about, like, should we move somewhere else further from the city where the cost of living is low, but we're like, no, we love the school district, we love the neighborhood, you know, things like that. So
yeah,
we're fortunate in our neighborhood, but I hear it's less and less, and you hear, you know, some horror stories. So definitely not like it was 30 years ago.
Yeah, true. I mean, true. But, like, you know, Justin, I think you would agree, like, the growing up in the neighborhood, it was everything, man. Like, you and your boys, like, it was everything. But I think, dude, that's something that's also rare. It's like your kid sees a kid outside playing. It's like, let's go, time to get out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's like, that's good on your kid for wanting to do that. My daughter, I think, will do, like, if she sees someone outside, she wants to go outside too. But she's still at the age where, like, if she goes outside, I have to go, I'm going with her. You know what I mean? Like, she can't go out by herself yet. But eventually, I think that'll happen.
Once they get to the age they can go out themselves, it's easier. But
I was just saying, my parents didn't know, like, my parents called one of my friends Tony Bag of Donuts his whole life, and to this day does not know his last name. They don't know who that kid's parents were. They're like, who was that kid who used to come over?
I mean, like, the one that was there every day that basically lived here?
Came over all the time? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that kid.
Because you weren't, like, they weren't texting each other. It was, like, kind of a pain in the butt to call someone on the phone and get their number. Like, it was...
You could give your parents someone's phone number, and as long as their older sister answered the phone, it was like, is there an adult there? She's like, yes. Like, sick.
Yeah. No, dude, they didn't care. Like, dude, once you, like, the age of the biker gang, the kids gang with on bikes is over. But, like, dude, once you walked out the front door, you hopped on your Mongoose or your Redline or your, you know, Dino or Haro or those, you know, I had the Sears bike, bro. It was so embarrassing. I was so embarrassed.
The Sears brand bike?
Yeah, dude.
It said Sears on the frame?
No. It's the bike they sold at Sears, and it's called a Royce Union. And
I remember the Royce Union.
Yep, it was the biggest hunk of shit in town.
It's heavy as hell.
Pretending something else.
Bro, I got teased endlessly. They used to call it, I mean, this is not a good word, but they used to call my bike, it said RU on it, right? Like, for Royce Union. And they used to call it the retarded uncle. They're like, you know, it was just, but it, you know, it's stupid kids being kids. But, like, you know, like, you got on your bike and you rode, like, you went out and, like, you know, did the damn thing. It's like, so once you got on your bike and left, it was like your parents didn't know, nor did they care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was rare that my parents talked to, like, they knew my friend's parents, but they weren't, like, you know, best pals. You know what I mean? Like, they just knew him, like, through me. Like, it was associated.
All my parents would do was make jokes, like, hey, just so you know, you can hit my kid. And, like, pick you up. That would be, like, all they would say to each other. Like, yeah, you can hit my kid, too. Bye.
Yeah. Dude, you remember Mr. Deary? He was
what's,
like,
his favorite exercise?
Oh, fuck you. It's push-ups. But
what's his second favorite exercise?
Push-ups. No, we had our one buddy, John Deary, shout out, fan show, listen to the show. His dad used to, like, just openly threaten us and be like, look, your parents said I can whip your little asses. So you get out of line, I'm fucking whip it. And we're like, shit, he is. But he was the best. I love Mr. Deary.
Was that
but...
you telling me that story just the other day about him, that he was like, you can let me hit you, which, you know, I'm allowed to do, or I can tell your dad, and your dad's going to hit you way more than I'm going to.
I don't think it was me. No.
Oh, that's the quick story. Happy birthday. Shout out Spud. My brother, that was my brother telling me that story. He was living there and he did something bad. And Mr. Deary came to him and he was like, look, you can let me hit you, which, you know, I'm allowed to do, and I will hit you not as hard as your actual father, or I can tell your father and then he'll hit you later on. And so he goes upstairs to have Mr. Deary hit him, and he goes bare ass, you know, because that's how his father hits him. You know, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. You know, there's no half ass in here. If you're going to spank me, I get spanked bare bottom. You buck up, sir. You're the one who asked for this. You're going to hit me. He goes, put your goddamn pants on. My brother has to put his pants back up. Mr. Deary spanks him, just lets him go. He pulls his pants up. He looks him in the eyes and goes, "You coward. You gotta spank me bare bottom.
You didn't even use a belt, you pansy." Oh, that's too funny, dude. Oh, man. You know what's the crazy thing, too, is like, dude, back in the day, like, you think all adults are huge, right? And then you go, like, years without seeing an adult, and then the next time you see him, like, damn, like, this guy is fucking tiny. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, dude, I remember this guy being monstrous, but well, what are you going to do? But, all right, let's keep it moving then. So, you grew up in Delco. Delco been in the news a little bit lately as far as, like, you know, Mayor of Easttown really put a shine on Delco. But I think, like, there's a lot more, like, the Delco, the Philadelphia accent is kind of the Delco accent. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like the Delco accent's really been, like, used for comedic purposes and obviously Mayor of Easttown and things like that. But what have you noticed anything special about being a member of Delco?
Probably. So it's funny, growing up, like, no one, and I guess I graduated high school in 05. No one really, like, said, "Oh, I'm from Delco." Cause, like, we, at that time, we played each other in sports. So, like, we didn't like Springfield or Radnor or Haverford. Like, we weren't like one, like, community, if anything. It was like we wanted to beat the other teams in Delco.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like, Delco became more popular probably like you heard the name a lot more, I don't know, 2013 after that. It when I first, like, realized, like, the accent was when I was in college. I went to Bucknell in the middle of Pennsylvania, and everyone's like, "Man, you got an accent, you got like a Philly accent." I'm like, "Really?" But, you know, when you grow up in the area, you know, everyone talks the same, so you really don't, yeah, like, you know, You don't really get that. So, yeah, it's been interesting to hear, like, Delco, Monco over the years, just because it's, you know, it's semi-new, I'd say, in the past decade compared to at least when I was growing up.
No, yeah, I agree. So, okay. So, yeah, I guess so. I mean, you know, Delco it is what it is. But let's keep moving on. So,
what's your banging food spot? Like, you like Charlie's Cheeseburgers?
Yeah, that's in Ridley, right?
Yeah, it used to be across from the swim club.
Yeah. Ridley's got a lot of good places to eat.
Used to be a Last Stand. You like Nifty 50s.
Nifty 50s. Yeah, that's also Ridley. Yeah, that's like the Ridley area. So Marple, they got, it's funny, they opened Delco Steaks. Talking about Delco, it's pretty good. A couple of kids from my high school actually, that, you know, graduated my high school, opened that up.
They have it in the Union Stadium as well.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. Delco Steaks.
I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
Is that any good?
I haven't been to a game yet. Yeah, they got... Yeah,
big, I've had big it at the stadium, not at the actual location.
What, and it's called a, and what, like, is it just a gimmick cheesesteak kind of place?
Yeah, they give you a lot of meat, you know. Right. I mean, it's
kind of like a Ray's or a Mama's.
It's pretty good. It's a, yeah, yeah. It's a pretty good cheesesteak, you know. I mean, there's so many good cheesesteak spots around here. You can say
Yeah. I used to work at this bar called the Pub of Penn Valley in Narberth, and they're famous in Delco because they got the best wings, baby. But that's, there you go.
We used to eat growing up at Thunderbird in Vermont. Had 25-cent wings. Those were the days. We come in, a couple of football guys, and just house, like, as many as we can.
Dude, what was that place? Remember the place around here, Justin? Giuseppe's at Wing Night.
I want to say it was $7.99, and I could be wrong, but I remember, like, paying with, like, ones in my pocket for all-you-could-eat wing night. And I remember them cutting off our one buddy because he got to, like, 64. And they were like, "All right, dude, like, come on."
Damn.
I swear it was under $10. I know it was under $10 because there's no way I would have done it.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know what they were thinking with wing night. It would be like, dude, it was just like a bunch of high school kids. They eventually, you had to be 18 to get into it. I remember that. Because, like, they'd have, like, high school kids going in and acting, like, crazy stupid. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. They'd have high school kids coming in eating 125 wings.
Yeah, which is wild. I mean, what do you do? But, nice. Okay, so you're growing up in Delco. What kind of sports were you doing coming up, Bri?
Pre-sixth grade, did, like, the whole t-ball, soccer, stuff like that. I was always a bigger kid. So football, sixth grade is when I started to play football. And that was kind of my sport. I played a little bit of lacrosse in high school. But, you know, I played football from sixth grade up until freshman year of college. So,
damn. Nice. Yeah. What position?
So I was always a little better at offense. You know, I guess it's easy to talk about high school. In high school, as a sophomore, I started at offensive tackle. And then the nice thing about Marple, I thought it was nice, is that, like, because the team isn't, you know, it's not as huge as Ridley or some of those bigger schools, that you kind of had the opportunity to play both offense and defense, just because we didn't have the kids, you know. So by junior and senior year, I was playing offensive tackle and defensive end. So I was actually probably better at offense, but at 6'2", 230, you're not going to be playing offensive tackle in, you know, college or anything like that. So that's why kind of focus.
Dude, that's still fun though, right? Like, I mean, you got to do, like, that's still pretty cool, like, to have that experience. Like, you played varsity and all that. So, dude, that's great. And then you played one year.
With a lot of the same kids that I grew up with, you know, on the same block. That was cool. You know?
Oh,
yeah,
dude.
Kind of got back to you. Yeah.
Dude, that's great. Did you, I mean, were you guys, how did you guys do as a team? Were you any good?
We were 7-4 our senior year. It's a shame that they changed the playoffs. Back then, like, it was, you had to almost go 9-2 to make the playoffs. And now, like, 16 teams make it. So we probably would have been like a 7 or 6 seed now in the playoffs at that record. But back then, we didn't, we didn't make it. But we were decent. I mean, Marple's not typically like a powerhouse compared to a lot of the bigger schools there, like Ridley and Garnet Valley. But they got a really good coach now, and they've been, you know,
Innsboro had better gold jerseys. Hmm? Right, Innsboro, was that the Bucks, the black and gold ones?
Yeah. So they weren't, they played Ridley. They weren't in the Central League. That's what, but we scrimmage them sometimes. They were really good my senior year. They kicked our ass in the scrimmage. Yeah. They're tough kids.
We went to North Penn, and I guess that pretty good football school. That, I guess in that time too, they just come off a state championship when you would have graduated, you know. So nice. All right, cool. So then you're playing football, doing this stuff. Did you have any, like, kind of like subjects or anything that you kind of like lean towards while you're in high school, or did you not discover that until college?
I was always pretty good at math and science. Yeah. So my dad engineer for the Philadelphia Navy Yard. Like, you know, when you Sam's on your left and like the Navy Yard is on your right. Like, he worked there, you know, from the day he graduated college to, you know, his retirement. My mom was my mom was a bio major, and then she wanted to be a doctor, but kind of realized late she hated blood. So she went and became an accountant. So like my family's pretty good at math and science. That's kind of, I took that. I wasn't that big into English and, you know, and that. So it was, math and science. I kind of went to engineering.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And then, when was your, how old were you when you got your first job?
So I was a junior. I think I was a junior because of playing football and sports. And my parents didn't really care what, they wanted me to be out doing something, whether that's sports or like my dad would take me skiing in the winter, like, didn't really matter what it was, like, you know. And eventually, I guess junior year, that was the first time I got a job. And because of football, like, the summer started, and football camp was going to start August 8th, so it was like hard to find other jobs that were like, hey, I'm only going to be here for like 2 months. Most high school kids are typically looking for like those 3 months there. So my one buddy, actually, his dad was really good at detailing cars, and he taught us how to detail cars. So, dude, it was a great gimmick. We get paid cash. Me and my buddy would go, you know, we either do it at one of our houses. All you really need is an outlet, a faucet, and some shade when you wax it. So, like, we'd actually go to people's work. Like, one thing that was a big sell, like, you go to work, if you have those things, you know, give us your car keys and you're done, your car would be, like, you know, detailed. So, it was awesome. It was a pretty
dude,
cool
that's
gig.
A great like, that's a really good, like,
yeah, it's
idea.
like Safe Light, they come to your work and replace your windshield.
Your window. Yeah,
well, dude, like, that'd be great too. Like, I know, like, my, like, we use my wife's car a lot for my kid, so it's a mess, you know, right? So, like, dude, you know, like, could you imagine being like, hey, you know, hey, babe, got your little gift to, you know, whoever's going to stop by and decal your car today. You know what I mean? Like, that's a great little gimmick. Yeah.
And you're working outside and you're just working with your buddy. Like, you're just like kind of, you know, shooting the stuff. So it was cool. Like, one thing, you know, it's funny. I don't know if you guys have probably noticed this, but like, throughout my career, even small jobs like that, I've kind of learned things that I've carried on up till now, and a couple things that job taught me was like always being prepared, because it's funny, like when you're a junior, we would just like, we're supposed to be at someone's house at 9, we'd like throw the stuff in the car, and then we drive, I don't know, but once we went out to Westchester, and we showed up at 9, and then we started working, and like an hour into it, it was the soccer mom's terrible minivan had all this stain, and we ran out of degreaser. So this is, 2003. So like GPS isn't popular, right? So, and we're not familiar with Westchester. So like my buddy's like, and you're kind of embarrassed to ask the people you're doing it, like, hey, where's like your local Pep Boys or like, he's got like the map out, and I'm like, oh, I think if you go, so like, I remember he like disappeared for an hour, and I'm like detailing the car. So like that kind of that job definitely taught me to always be prepared, just don't like show up, you kind of have to be prepared. And after that, we always brought two of everything. So
smart.
Yeah. And the other funny thing that kind of taught me was that like we started in June, and we thought we'd be good until football season started, because we didn't have to be anywhere, right? So if a car we thought was going to take 3 hours, if it took 4 or 5, we just wanted to like make it look nice. Yeah. So we had a good product. So we thought we'd be good from the time we started till football started. But like after 1 month, we were working like 6 days a week. After 1 month, we're like, oh crap, like we kind of hit everyone we know. And like, if you got your car done a month ago, you're not going to get a full detail, and this is pre-Facebook. Like there was no place to, I think we put an ad in the newspaper, but like, who's going to, if you don't know us, like who's going to like, give your car keys to a 15-year-old. So that's when I learned marketing is important to, it's not just the product that you do, but marketing.
Dude,
but,
that's still, I mean, it's a good, not a bad, like, it's not a bad gimmick now, though. Like, that's actually a really good idea. But the fact that, one, you guys, like, the valuable stuff you learned there, like, you held yourselves accountable, right? You took pride in your work, especially that age. It's very rare to find, like, younger kids that are willing to be like, look, we're putting in the extra time because we want to make this look good and we want the customer to be satisfied. Like, we don't care how long it takes. Like, very rare at that age, And so it's commendable that you guys had that type of work ethic and that type of business savvy to be able to pull that off. And, like, you knew, like, you had overhead and things like that for supplies and stuff. Like, preparing for all that. Like, seems like this was a really valuable lesson that you got.
Another cool thing, like, I'm gonna like try to get my kids into it. Like, when I went to college, like winter break, a lot of times you come back and like it's hard to get a job for like a month. But that's when I would detail like everyone that I used to know. A lot of them would want to get it once a year, so like I would just detail as many cars as I could every winter break. So yeah, it was pretty cool. I literally did it up until I graduated college. So
dude, that's a great one. That's a great. I mean, winter break as well, because no one wants to wash their freaking car in the winter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so that's perfect timing, Damn. Yeah, dude, another great idea, man. Look at you. Look at you. So,
dude, one last story about that. It's funny because,
go.
Like, some people like didn't care where they like, it was easy to do at people's house, but because you just drive there and then you leave, But there's this one guy who had, God, it was the 7 Series Beamer, and his house was like totally fine to do it. But we would always tell him, we're like, it's easier to do at our house. So can we just like take your car, because like he had like 3 cars, it didn't matter. He also had a Maserati. And we'd be like, we just take your, he was like a lawyer, really nice guy. We're like, we just like take your car, it's easier to do at our house. So like we would detail it, and then like, for the next hour we'd be driving it, we'd like go to the local Wawa, we'd eat lunch,
buddy.
Why are they driving these $100,000 cars? So
Just pull up next to someone at the light, be like, hey ladies. We're 16, we have a $100,000 car, no big deal. Nice, dude. That's great. What job did you have after that?
Then when I was in school in the spring, my senior year, I worked at Giant food stores.
I was a cashier.
Dude, same here, man. I hated it.
Worst job I ever had.
Worst job I ever had too, man.
I've had a ton of jobs. As every review I ever had there was like, you got to smile and talk more to the customers. And I was like, dude, no, the white people are the worst. I had a lady who one time, like, her 10-cent coupon didn't work and was like, all right, well, I don't want the thing. And I was like, yo, I'll give you 10 cents to not dig it out of your grocery bags right now. Like, you out of your mind?
Yeah, that definitely taught me, like, if you hate your job, it doesn't matter how much money you make. Like, you can't do a job that you hate because you're just, like, not that Giant pays a lot, but just in general. Like,
no, I mean, they, like, didn't. They paid good for back, like, when I worked there. Like, I worked there when I was, like, 17. And it was, like, not bad. It was, like, $15 or $16, maybe. Something crazy. Oh, wow. I don't know. That might be high, but whatever. Like, and you could get high in the parking lot, like, on your breaks. And I was a concrete cowboy for a little bit. I was wrangling up the silver buffalo and bringing in carts and stuff. That wasn't too bad. And I get in this full-blown fight with this dude one day. Like, to the point where I'm like, have a nice day. And he's like, fuck you, asshole. Like, he got, like, heated.
This is a customer or another guy?
Yeah. Okay. We were, like, checking out. And he was like, fuck you. Right. I was like, hey, thanks. Have a good day. And he goes to talk to my manager. And I go to my English teacher in 11th grade, and I'm, like, behind her desk. Like, she's like, show me something. And I see the picture of her and her husband. I go, is that your husband? He goes, yeah. I go, I work at Giant. I saw him this week. He goes, are you the asshole cashier at Giant? I go, yeah, that's me. And she just started dying laughing. She's like, that's you? And I was like, yeah, dude, your husband's a dick.
what did she say to that?
She just started dying. She's like, honestly, the description fits. I now putting the face to the person, like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I was in 12th grade in that 11th grade English class because I refused to take 11th grade English with this other teacher.
That's funny. Yeah, I think I was also in 12th grade when I worked there too. Dude, I had a funny, I remember they quickly taught, like, how the register worked, but I feel like I was thrown into the fire, like, almost immediately.
And it was, and, like, if it fucks up, you just, like, turn the light on and then someone will come over get and help. Fix it for you.
Yeah, dude, so I remember my first day, I felt like an idiot. So they, I don't know about you, but I noticed, like, the people that paid with food stamps, a lot of them were kind of, like, embarrassed. Like, I remember at first, I was, like, they'd hang around in front of the cashiers. And, like, I felt like, why aren't they checking out? Like, and then if my lane was clear, they would kind of go quick, you know, and then try to check it. I don't know if it was, like, a pride thing, not seeing anyone, like, paying with food stamps. Dude, my first day, the guy, like, hands me, like, the stamps. Like, back then, it was literally, like, I think it's a card now, but it was, like, it almost looked like stamps. And, like, I
had have different checks for different things.
Yeah. And it was, I didn't know what to do with it. So this guy was, like, trying to just go quick. I'm like, my supervisor is Mary. I'm like, hey, Mary, this guy's trying to pay with these stamps.
Oh, no.
And as soon as I said it, like, I could see, like, his head went down. Like, oh, no. What have I done? No. Nah. She came, like, sprinting over. Yeah, it was, oh, I felt so bad. I was
The wick used to be, back when I worked there, it would be literal paper checks that you had to, like, run through the top of the register that would, like, print this number on there. It became, like, a whole ordeal, and there'd be, like, a woman crying, holding with a black eye and, like, seven cans of Similac. Yeah, you're like, you're like, dude, just take it. I won't say anything.
Yeah.
Like, I always had, like, one order. They'd have, like, one order for what could be covered on food stamps, another one that, like, and then, like, cigarettes. Yeah. And it was like, it was
so you could get, dude, that's so funny you said that. So you can get crab legs with your EBT card. But remember, you could also have, like, the crab, like, steamed in the back, like, for you. So if you do that, you can't use your EBT cards for that, yo. And I was working at Giant, and that is what happened. Is someone came into line with crab legs, but they were pre-steamed. And, like, it wouldn't work because the code I put in. And they were like, and the chaos that ensued.
Oh, I bet. Nice. So, okay.
I'm glad you hated that job too, though. God bless anyone that's a cashier.
There was a kid who worked in the bakery, had one of those conversion vans that had, like, captain seats and, like, had the TV built in, like, from the early 90s. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Back headrest, and he had a Super Nintendo hooked in, and he sold weed, and he would park in the side lot of Giant. So, like, I would time all my breaks up with that kid, and that's, like, the only reason I stayed there for so long was I was like, dude, we can go in this big van and get high and play video games for 15 minutes, and that's all right.
Dude, I mean, we've had a bunch of people that have worked at grocery stores on this show, and no one has liked that job. Like, everyone's miserable.
Like, how about you? Like, my store had, like, lifers in it too, though. Like, that I'm just surprised. Like, I don't know how they.
Dude, there's some people that once they get in it, they're in it, man.
We were talking about. So, I had a lifer at my store. I used to steal lunch every day. go to the hot food, mac and cheese, like where you're supposed to weigh and shit. Put that in the cardboard, walk outside, sit on the bench, smoke a cigarette, eat it, throw it away, walk back inside. This kid who was a lifer, like he was 5 or 6 years older than me. He was like the manager. Like you knew this is the best he was doing. Got booked for doing that exact thing, like stealing chicken tenders. And they fired him.
Wow.
Wow.
And I remember being like, damn, that's messed up. I steal chicken fingers every day.
What are you going to do? But all right, so then what happened? So you're doing the giant thing, everything's going good there, and then when do you go off to college?
That was my senior year. So then next year I'm in college. My job in college, probably spring of my freshman year, I started working for GNC, the supplement store.
Okay.
So because remember, like, so I'm like,
you're,
I'm
like an athlete,
I'm full meathead. Full football, meathead, straight up. So it was a good gig though, because the GNC up at, like, I don't know if you guys remember, Bucknell's in the middle of nowhere. It's like 45 minutes east west of Penn State in a town called Lewisburg. So it's like
east west of Penn State?
East south. Sorry. Yeah, east west.
I was like, wait, what?
All right, dude. What are you, fucking MapQuest all of a sudden, Justin? Shut the fuck. Yeah.
No, I'm glad he corrected me. Yeah. So
I'm sorry, I was paying attention. I was like, wait, east west.
All right, we all heard east west, north south, suck dick. Let's go. Jesus Christ.
But it's middle of nowhere, like, you know. And so the nice thing, the GNC didn't get much traction. So GNC, you're actually like, you get an hourly, like, minimum wage, and you get paid commission for selling certain stuff. But I didn't really care, because like, I would go there, I get one customer every five, like, not take that back, 5 hour shift, you get like four customers. So the rest of the time I would just do my homework. So you know, because I'm the only one in the store, like, there's nothing else. Like, and I worked on the later,
just whacking down everything. Energy drinks.
it was a good college gig, because I can kind of do my homework parallel. It taught me sales too. Not like, I mean, a lot of stuff at GNC is snake oil, but there was some stuff I kind of, you know, did like and believe in. So it kind of taught me to talk to people, different people, kind of, you know,
dude, that is, and try to sell them. I mean, legit, GNC is a whole store of snake oil. Like,
it's not true.
There's a lot, like, you're not wrong. There is a lot of snake oil stuff there.
Shout out to Carbo Q16. It's paying me pass every drug test I've ever had to take.
Yeah, and they upcharge that. Like,
they sure did. It was $65. And if you came there looking a little sweaty, they'd charge you $70.
That's not true, but that stuff, I don't know if you know that, matter. It, like, masks, because it makes the drug test negative, inconclusive.
So
you
drink the whole thing, fill it up with water, you drink it again. You take like 3 peas, and those 3 peas before the drug test are the darkest urine you've ever seen in your life. And then your next, I don't know, 12 peas are clear as crystal lake water. And so you take and then they came out with ones that would used to come with vitamins to make those future peas a little more yellowy, so people didn't give you a hard time at the drug test place. Right. But one time, the happy birthday, my brother, that kid, I told him to do this. He went to go take a drug test in the Mercedes dealership. He was going to go work there. I said, go take the Carbo Q. He takes it, drinks it, goes to the drug test, doesn't release the 3 P's. He pisses the dark evils into the drug test cup.
Ooh.
They immediately, within like 4 minutes, are like, were you smoking weed while you peed in here? Like, this thing looks like motor oil. Failed, lost the job. And he was like, damn, I spent $65 on the drug test drink. I was like, yeah, you gotta clear out
time to work. Yeah.
Then you have clear peas all day.
Yeah, this was when I worked there, this was like pre-Amazon. So like, you could order them online from, I forget, numerous stores, but like the shipping was like 4 days, and it was $10 when you ordered online. So GNC knew that, like, if you were coming in the store, you were desperate, and that's why they upcharged it to like 50 and 60. And it was like one of the few things that was behind, like, they never had in any store, like on a shelf. They always, you know, because they're afraid of getting it stolen. They'd have it behind.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. So But nice.
And another interesting story there. That's funny you know about that. The other like thing that fascinated me about GNC was that do you guys know what niacin is?
Yeah.
Do you want me to go with this?
No, go. Go.
So niacin's like a vitamin B, and like I was interested in supplements and just seeing what was what. I remember like I couldn't figure out for the life of me that like almost all of our vitamins were pill form. Then they had some like capsules, and they sold niacin in pill form, but they also sold it in powder form. And the powder form was like 8 times more expensive. I'm like, why would like, and I'm looking at the dosages and I'm like, it's kind of the same. I don't really get it. And then finally, I came back here. I was in college doing it, but then coming back over the summer, I'd worked that first year around this area, and like they send you to different stores. And I went down close to like Brookhaven, closer to like the Chester area, and they had like all this powdered niacin. I'm like, what's going on? And turns out, drug dealers, I guess it's got the same like properties as like crack cocaine, as far as like melting and stuff like that. So they'd actually buy that and then mix it like with their product to sell some more product essentially. But I'm like, that's why GNC is selling it for so much more now.
It was the fanciest, most expensive cutter you could get, like on the market. It was like NiCO2. It would come in like that orange.
Yeah,
I can't remember what sunny side or
baby laxative.
Yeah, pretty much same concept.
Ugh, yeesh. Yeesh McGeesh.
Yeah, I worked for a GNC subsidiary, like kind of company that ships stuff like years later, and same thing, like we had a locked cage and it was like all like sex toys and that like niacin cutter like would always get stolen.
Yeah. Dude, and nice.
I don't know about you, like people, funny, most the average person doesn't want to talk to you about like what they want. They kind of want to get it. Dude, some people would open up to you about everything. I remember I was at Bucknell and this dude who I kind of knew, he was like a frat guy. He was like, man, I get so drunk, I can't have sex with my girlfriend. What can I take here that's going to help me with that? And I'm like, dude, like, I don't, we might have like a product. I think it's kind of snake oil. Like, but you should probably just like stop drinking it. Like,
maybe only have 10 beers instead of 15. Maybe that's the solution, Aunt Bub. Yeah.
Have you gone to the gas station and tried the rhino pills?
Yeah. Oh, dude, the horny goat weed, babe. Hit him with the horny goat weed. Dude, yeah, that
some,
stuff.
Some people have no shame, man. You're getting that. You're like, oh, wow. Like, that's it's interesting. I remember, every time I saw that dude again, I'm like, I never thought it was the same. Like, I remember you.
You're like, ah, hey, buddy. How's the Pish Vendel doing?
I got trouble getting hot. What do you got for me, guy?
Okay, so let's keep it moving. So you're in college, right? And then you're doing the, you know, you did the GNC thing, but then you would go to the Philadelphia Naval Yard for an internship, right?
Yeah. Yes, that was one.
Did you get that through your old man or what?
Yeah. I mean, he helped. You know, you had to have a certain GPA. My GPA was decent, but yeah, my old man. Yeah, got that. And then that kind of led me.
So were you like the lineman on the football team that was like the bigger guy but smart and, you know, had nice parents and lived in a nice house and a nice family and all that stuff, dude? I knew your type.
Middle class though.
Hey, sure, right? Yeah. Aren't we all? But okay, sorry, I interrupted you. So Philadelphia Naval Yard. We actually had my stepdad was on the show, and he's an aquatic engineer, and he's part of his like he went to this like special school that for like they design yachts, right? And he was at this like special school that only like a certain number of people even get accepted to. And part of going to that school is that the summer of your freshman year, you have to be like an internship for the Philadelphia Naval Yard.
Oh.
And he's like, dude, but his like they were he was doing like the shit work with like he's like, dude, yeah, the guy I'm with has like no teeth. And you know what I mean? Like that they're all, you know, basically homeless, and like he's working, like he's doing like the shit work on the ship and stuff like that. And
my job, like, my experience like, is not like that at all.
Yeah, he was kind of like merchant marines, because like he knew like their whole thing was like, if you're gonna build these boats, you need to see like from the ground up how it's done. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it was it was really cool. So, but either way, so what are you doing as the internship at the Naval Yard?
Oh man, they work on gas turbines for some of the ships. So some basic like CAD drawings, like 2D drawing. You know, kind of like odd ends for random engineers there that needed help. But I mean, they had a few internships. They didn't have too much for me to do, to be honest with you. This is over a decade ago. But yeah, you know, it was good to see the process. That's kind of where I learned, interestingly, because I got a degree in mechanical engineering, and where I kind of learned I was probably too impatient for mechanical engineering, because like a lot of that type of design, like by the time you come up with, you know, you do all the drawings and you figure it out, by the time it comes to reality is like years later. And at that same time in college, I was getting introduced to like software and just like writing code and like seeing the results like immediately.
Yeah.
Oh, this is pretty cool. That's interesting. That was another job where I'm like, you know, engines and stuff like that. Like some people love car engines and like love the thermodynamics of it. And you know, it just that stuff didn't interest me as much. So I knew at the time I liked the military, but I probably wasn't gonna be involved too much in like engine stuff. It just didn't interest me that much. But it opened up the next door I had, which was an internship at Lockheed Martin.
Okay.
So which then led into a full-time job, you know, after that.
So what were you doing? Like, so then you go to Lockheed Martin. What was the like initial thing you were doing at Lockheed Martin?
So Lockheed, it was pretty cool, because you got a lot of like 4,000 people over there in that New Jersey plant.
Whoa.
You come in and it was pretty cool. They put us through, there was like, I think 15 of us selected for like, they call it an engineering leadership development program. So every year they put you through like we had one class, and I made some really good friends with that class. And, you know, they actually pay for your master's. They give you leadership courses, and then you get 4 9-month jobs throughout Lockheed. So you get to kind of like,
you kind of touch everything
things.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So dude, that's a hell of an internship. Jeez.
No. I'm sorry. I had a 3-month internship that led to the start of this the next year. So
that's a hell of a gig there, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Dude, it was pretty cool, because they work on ballistic missile defense on so the most of what they do there is on naval ships. So the idea, if you got like an adversary like North Korea is gonna launch a missile at Japan, you know, we'll park a destroyer or a cruiser, in theory, you know, hopefully it never gets to this, but you know, we could park a destroyer or a cruiser over there, and if North Korea were to launch a missile, then we could, you know, launch one and shoot it.
Oh, kind of like intercept it.
Lockheed build the Iron Dome.
So that's fine. It's been a while. I don't know if they helped. Is there Patriot missiles involved in that? So we were all, everything that we did was naval. So, and then there's like, you probably heard the Patriot missile before. That's another ground-based one. The Iron Dome, it's been a while. I forget who actually, like, how, I'm sure we helped out with that a little bit. Like someone in the U.S. I can't remember if it was Lockheed or not.
There's like automated Gatling interceptor guns that'll follow like any missile drone in the air, and it has tracer rounds, and it'll be automated. Just like,
whoa.
Are you talking about the ships though? They call it the SeaWiz, the R2-D2.
Yeah, they'll have it on like cars. Or they'll have it on like big ships, and it just like a sprinkler, like automated.
Yeah. The joke though in the industry, like if you hear that, like the joke is like abandoned ship, because that means it like it went through all the other layers.
Oh, damn.
and it's really close. So
whoa.
So it was cool. That was working on that, you get a secret clearance. So not polygraph, top secrets where you actually get polygraph, but secret clearance coming out of college is just like pretty cool to learn like classified.
Yeah,
information.
Bro. Dude, that's really cool.
It's interesting because it's not what they like. I don't know. You think you're going to get secret clearance, and they're going to be like, "All right, we'll tell you all about the Kennedy assassination," but it's not like that at all. It's all
Area 51 behind George Washington's face on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. They're basically just saying, like, "Look, you're given this, and
we're
if you
tell
anyone
bombs
what we're showing you, you're dead."
We're gonna tell you how bombs work, and if you tell anyone else how bombs work, you're in trouble.
Let you know, we'll bomb your house. Yeah,
it was it's funny because like they were very, you know, it's weird seeing, I'm not gonna get into politics, but like I know both sides did it, like take classified info home. Like we were told if we did that, like you're fired, federal like you're done,
big time.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that happened. That happened to a few. It was a mistake. It's like usually I think a few people did it by mistake once, and then second time it's done. Like, you know, and even the first mistake had to be like not that bad. But
take home sensitive documents one time, shame on me. Take home sensitive documents twice, shame on you, US government.
But going back to the secret clearance, it was pretty wild, because what you learn, it's all need to know. So like being in the defense we learned a lot about other countries' offensive capabilities, like all the classified info about. So I couldn't tell you, we didn't learn anything about how our offensive missiles, like the U.S., our offensive missiles, we didn't really have to know that, right? Because we're not shooting that down. But other countries, like, you know, their capabilities, what they're working on, it was pretty cool. It was interesting too, because like
that's really cool. Yeah,
over time, things come unclassified. So like, I remember, you know, years later when I left Lockheed, I saw, I want to say exactly what it was, but I saw something in the news about like this country's new missile. I'm like, oh, I knew about that like 8 years ago. It's funny that like, and they don't tell you. It always made me wonder, because like the classified info would be about other countries, like their capabilities, but like I'm always like, how do we get that, you know? But like they wouldn't, like I don't need to know that, you know? It doesn't matter, you know?
Right So yeah, that's not up to you, but yeah. Still, that's badass.
Yeah, and the cool thing too there was one of my jobs, this is like pre-marriage, like pre-kids, you know, was all the naval ships, when they get installed, they're at like, naval ships are cool because they're usually at cool places, right? They're not in the middle of Iowa. You can't have that. So, you know, I lived in Pearl Harbor area, like Hawaii for a month. I went to Japan for a month, had to fly out to like Corona, down in Virginia. Like, so I got to travel, you know, a lot. You know, and live in some cool places. So, to, you know, kind of work on the ship. Yeah.
Dude, that's badass. All right. Nice. Go ahead, Justin.
Food in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
How was the food in Japan?
Dude, it was good, but it makes you feel, I'm already a fat guy, but like you go out and like their portion
Don't
sizes
say that, Brian.
Are so small. Like I'd order a dinner. I'm like, is this it? Like, can I order three of them? So, but the food was great, man. They had some, really good, they had this one place I'll never forget. They had the best sushi ever, and it was on a conveyor belt. And the sushi was on a plate, like every plate had a color on it. And the cost, like the plates cost different depending on what the sushi was. And then whatever you wanted, you would just take off and eat. And when you were done, you'd bring your stack of plates out, and then like they count it up and you pay for it. So,
That's pretty smart. Yeah. Nice. Damn, that Japanese thing, everything. Yeah. Nice. So then,
and real quick, they had, Pam, another cool thing was they had vending machines with hot coffee that comes out like in a soda can. And I don't know, like Tommy Lee Jones was on a ton of advertising there. Like, apparently he's like big. Like, I remember like every day right outside the Naval Yard, I go get like a can of coffee and see like Tommy Lee Jones, like, you know, picture on it. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Chris Pratt apparently has like a huge, like somewhere in Asia, like ad campaign that like they've been airing on the internet
in Japan.
Really?
Maybe it is Japan, but like state, like a lot of our, you know, like Arnold's done it. A lot of like our American actors go over there, do an ad campaign that to hopefully never be seen.
That's interesting.
This is my happy face.
Dude, that's hilarious. So, okay. So then, You're doing your stuff, you're hanging out. So then you would train, like you would stay somewhat in security, but you would kind of move to this, like what you're doing now, right?
It was still tech. So at that point, one thing I kind of failed to mention, I was mechanical engineering, and then like I graduated in 09. So it that was when like the stocks, you know, everything was down. So, but Lockheed was still doing well. But that was like my first time to really get into software, because like it was a lot of physics, like intercepting missiles, like it's a physics, like a rocket science problem. But it's a lot of software too on like simulating and things like that. So that software side, and like actually like my group was responsible for testing thing, like testing the to make sure it actually works before it goes in the ship. So with that experience, I went eventually to DirecTV, which, well, they bought a small company at the time that did home security. So I actually went to DirecTV in 2014, I think. But a big part of that too was my wife's from Plymouth Meeting, and we were living in Jersey in Cherry Hill, and you know, we like the neighborhood and things like that. But like my entire family is from, you know, it still lives in this area. Her entire family still lives in this area, Montgomery County. You know, Delaware County area. So we wanted to get back to Pennsylvania. So it was kind of an opportunity to kind of get out of Jersey and come back to Pennsylvania and you know, work there for home security and have a bigger, like one thing about Lockheed is like you're one of 1,000 people that test something before it goes into ship, but it was a much smaller engineering team, you know, to kind of have more of a footprint.
Nice. That's fun though, right? Like that's what you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you get a little older in your career.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So then that kind of transitions to where you are now. So you're living, so give us a day in the life of what life is like now. So you're the father of four kids, you're married, you have a home, you're working a job. So give us a typical day of what you got going on.
So pre-COVID, we used to have office in Bluebell. We still have office in Bluebell, actually. But you know, pre-COVID, we were working in the office every single day, which could be actually challenging in many ways when you're testing like Wi-Fi devices, especially like cameras, because everyone is like flooding the Wi-Fi network with high, like, you know, 1080 videos and things like that. So, and we were already outgrowing our office. COVID hit, and like, you guys remember that time, it was kind of like chaos of what's going on. So
yeah,
we started to work remote, and it's funny because like a lot of problems of like, you know, there's too much on the Wi-Fi, whatever, all that like started to solve itself. And in addition to that, we had to grow in size. Like, you know, I've been working for DirecTV since 2015. My company was bought and sold, and you know, different things happened, but I'm still in the security business. But we had to like triple in size, so we started to hire people. And then about 6 months into hiring, we kind of like asked, are we ever going to go back to the office? And the answer was no. So like we started hiring everywhere in the continental US, essentially.
Okay.
We joke that we don't hire people, that many people from California, because they want too much of a salary compared to the rest of the rest of the US. But yeah, there's folks on my team that work in Michigan, Ohio, Florida, South Carolina, Texas, you know, all over. So you know, I've got 31 folks in my org now. My day, you know, I'm not as hands-on as I used to be, which is a little unfortunate, but like in the position what I kind of have to do, you know, it kind of makes sense. So say half my day in meetings and just kind of strategizing like on the next products that are coming out. And then, you know, probably the other half day, I'm a little bit more hands-on. If customers are reporting about issues in the field, or if something has to be tested immediately, like I'll kind of jump in there and try to help out with things like that. But it's cool. Like all the stuff that we're working with are, you know, cell phones, your typical home security system. It doesn't matter what's just like, you know, what company you use. You got your cell phones, devices that can communicate with typically cameras, hub in the house, and you know, sensors and devices in your house, essentially locks, thermostats, you know, things like that. So
are you big in IoT at all?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all that we do. So it's funny, we're kind of bringing this back to what the beginning of this convo, like I feel terrible for my kids, because like they're not going to be able to get away from anything, man. I got cameras everywhere. I got, I know when someone gets home, I know everything.
Yeah.
I'm like, all the stuff I did when I was a kid, like they have no shot.
Well, dude, like
at least in my house.
Yeah, but that's part of the gimmick, though. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that, I mean, that's blessing and the curse, but that's just, it is what it is.
There's a will, there's a way. They get their hands on your cell phone, that, and they just silence your vibration on your phone so you don't get the alert messages.
But dude, but that's the thing though, is that like criminal, like people find a way. You know what I mean? These that's kids, what, they'll find a way, man. Like people thought like when we were, you know, like
that's
you
true.
Know, people will find, like you're always gonna be in business, bro, because people are always gonna find a way around this stuff.
All you gotta do is unplug the router and sneak out of the house.
Yeah, there you go. So. Nice.
It works
from
LTE backup, man. Don't worry if you got that covered.
So
get up
nice.
Pretty early, you wanna.
Yeah. So all right, we are coming towards the top of time though. So Bri, me and Justin are usually on the same page with this, but we would love to have you back on the show if you'd be willing to come back on.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course,
I have a myriad of questions we didn't get to.
Go ahead, Justin.
Well, no, I mean there's no time for
you can
now.
Save it to next time. That's fine. I know we went over.
I'll bombard you with a myriad of odd questions when you return.
When you return, first thing we will do is bombard you with a myriad of odd questions. How's that sound?
I got a lot more funny stories from Lockheed and even the current one, too. So I definitely come back.
How much different do you think Catholicism would be if Asia, if like Jesus was born in Beijing instead of Jerusalem?
Oh, man.
That's what you wanted to ask?
I don't think I'm knowledgeable enough to answer
that. I'm joking.
Okay.
I mean, sheesh. I mean, could it be any more different? You know, I don't know.
I think if I do come back, I do maybe bring me and Josh back, because I do, I love Josh to death, but and I really like 95% of what he said, but the whole flat earth thing, man, I gotta convince him. I gotta
you want to be on you say you want to be on with him together
to convince him that the earth is not flat. I promise. Yeah, I'm not certain of everything, but I'm
space is fake.
We've been that looking to do that. So all right, so before we get out of here, we are coming towards the top of time. Bri, is there anything you want to say to your family and friends before we take off?
I wasn't prepared for that. I thank you guys again. I mean, I appreciate you guys having me. I'm sorry I missed the first time. You know, glad I could make up for this time.
It's all good. You don't even have to bring that up. We're all good. So, but no, man, thanks for being on. This was so much fun. I knew we were going to have a good time and just have a nice chat. You did a great job. Storytelling was a lot of fun. Thank you. So, J-Dub, what do you got before we get out of here?
A good old time. I'm excited to have you come on back down and we'll discuss the futures of weaponry, and I liked it. It's fun.
Yeah, I would love to have you back on with, and because we have talked about, like, we can't always be everybody's in love, you know, like there's got to be some discussion on this show and possible debating topics. So yeah, get you and Josh. So it'll be two, because Justin, you're a flat earther, right?
I mean, I don't really believe the earth is flat, but it makes me so happy to watch the videos of people who think that the earth is flat. So, like,
you're troll fodder is what you are. Yeah,
space is fake. There's a layer of water above the earth and an ice wall, and it's so cool. It's so cool.
And like, the funny thing about it is, like, a lot of conspiracy theories, like, there's always a motive that you're like, all right, well, I think it's a bad theory, but I can see your motive. But I don't get, like, the flat earth thing. I don't even get the motive that people, like,
not even like, so some people believe that beyond the ice wall is more like planet and earth and stuff, and that gets me even more excited, because, like, what are they doing? Like, is Wakanda over there, Narnia over there? We're doing cool stuff over there, trying to keep us alive. Yeah. Also, how do you fly from California to Japan and then fly from, I love it so much. Satellites are on balloons. When I watched a YouTube video that told me satellites were on balloons, and I was just like, I'm so happy to be alive right now.
Yeah. It is a great time to be alive. Let's be full transparency there. So nice. Well, speaking of the earth not being flat, this has been another episode of the Working Perspectives Podcast. I'm Matt Lavelle, coming today by the one and only J-Dub Justin Richardson, and our guest today is the man, the myth, the legend himself, the one and only Brian Peters. In case you're wondering, you can find all our stuff and all our content and all podcast platforms and YouTube at Working Perspectives Podcast. You can also on Instagram at Working Perspectives Podcast, and you can join us on Twitter and TikTok at Working P Pod. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please email us at workperspectives@gmail.com, and please like, subscribe to keep bringing you this sweet, sweet content. Thank you for listening, and have a good one. Thanks. See ya.